Young people, have you ever considered what the most powerful being in the universe desires for you in your life at this very time? What does God desire for you? What does he think about you? What are his thoughts about you individually? Have you ever wondered that? Well, let's turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Because God shares his thoughts of you, of all of us, in this verse, Jeremiah 29, and we'll read verse 11. The Lord is speaking here. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Another way of saying that is, I know what I think about you, says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's the hope. That's the desire of your God and the way he thinks about you, about what he hopes to plan for you. He wants to give you a future and a hope that can dwell in your mind and strengthen you as you go through your days in life. But I think one of the most important aspects of that verse is God says that his thoughts of us, of you, are of peace. His thoughts of you are peaceable. He's not sitting up in heaven shaking his finger at you every time you make a mistake. God's thoughts of you are peaceable. And they include thoughts focused on blessing you. He wants to bless you as you grow towards adulthood. God is a God of love. It's the foundation and basis of his character. Not just a little bit of love. God is consumed with love. It's his entire thought process and being. And he loves you more than you know. He loves you so much that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, for you. That's a lot of love. That's not easy to sit there and think, I am willing to give my son, and I don't have to do this. God the Father didn't have to do that. He did it willfully so that he could spend eternity with you. Think about how powerful a love someone must have to be willing to sacrifice, to give the life of their own son, so that you could have a future and a hope. Without God's love, without that sacrifice, there would be no hope. There'd be no future for any of us. The only reason that we have a future and a hope is because of God the Father's love for you and the depth of his love for you. But no matter what God desires for your future, he's not going to force it upon you. He's not going to force you to build a relationship with him. So everything that God desires for you depends upon the decisions that you make and that I make in our lives. We recently enjoyed watching the Summer Olympics. How many at least tuned in to some parts of the Olympics? I think it was on our TV pretty much every night, if I have to be honest. But my wife and I have always enjoyed sports and particularly the Olympics. It's fun to watch the Olympics. It was amazing to me to watch and to consider these young athletes and what they've achieved in their lives at basically a pretty young age. I think most of the athletes are like in their late teens to mid-20s. And think about what they've achieved in their life. Think about what they had to do to get to that point to be in front of a worldwide audience and showing their craft and their abilities as an athlete. For them to become a gold medalist, they had to dedicate their lives in pursuit of their dream. That doesn't mean you just get up once in a week and you go outside and train. Their life and every decision they made in their life evolved around their decision to shoot for the gold, to shoot for an Olympic medal, to shoot for being on the Olympic team. Their dedication and their training required great sacrifice. Great sacrifice. Can you imagine them as a teenager and they're working and developing their skill, and their buddies call up and say, "Hey, let's go out and do this." And they have to say, "No, I'm sorry, I have to train today." Their efforts required great sacrifice to get to a point of being an Olympic athlete. They pushed their bodies to new limits every week, every month, and year after year from a very early age to develop their skills and their talents and their abilities so that they could have a chance at winning a medal. How was it possible for them to become a medalist in the Olympics? How did they achieve to be the best in their field of athletics? Well, they didn't roll out of bed as a teenager and think, "You know, I think it'd be kind of neat to try to become an Olympic athlete." That's not the way it works. They recognized their gift at a very early age. And then once they recognized their personal gift, they dedicated their lives to perfecting it, to become stronger, more agile, fine-tuning every detail of their performance. And that's especially true with gymnastics. The slightest little mistake could be the difference between a medal and no medal. So to get that fine-tuned on developing your talents and skills, it required work day after day, dedication day after day. In watching the Olympics, there was one young man that was particularly amazing to me, and his name was Fred Richards. Anybody familiar with Fred Richards? He was on the male gymnastic team, and he actually received a bronze medal at the Olympics this year. I have a short video that I want to share with you. It only lasts about a minute and a half, so it doesn't take very long. But I would encourage you, as we watch the video here in just a second, to focus in on what, well, they're going to show some film footage of when he was a young boy. Focus on and think about how he came to become a male gymnast at the Olympics. Notice the gift that he has been given. Think about the, because they're going to show his mom and dad in this video as well. Think about what his mom and dad have said. So pay close attention to what is being said, and because he even talks about his life and his training and some of the difficulties he's had. So listen to all those as we watch the video at this time.
I like to challenge myself, push limits.
Have you had some injuries yourself?
Yes, I have. When growth plate tearing the shoulder, 2 weeks later, broke my back. 1 month later, second stress fracture in the back. Problem is, I don't know my limits sometimes, so. But I'm working on that. My parents, Carl Richard and Emily Richard, I would say they've been so supportive of me in the process. We all see where I can go. We all are working as a team. You know, they're like my teammates on this journey.
That's
I like surprises. Not them.
Yeah.
I guess about the creators of me and everything I do.
So long, Dad, in 30 seconds, what was this kid like?
Crazy. Literally flipping out of his crib. We said, okay, we gotta find a safe place to do this. So we put him in gymnastics really early, and he just flew.
One thing I told him, he's allowed to rent in pillows.
And he
was stuffing up the floor, that's all.
It's a pretty neat video of an amazing young man that was very successful. But it showed a lot of important aspects of what led him to be an Olympic champion. At a very early age, recognizing his gift, walking down the stairs, if you notice that, doing a handstand, you know, looking at the camera, that's just amazing to me. So it's all worth considering, because they saw not just that it was neat that their son could walk down the steps doing a handstand, but they could see that he had a potential that was incredible. But it required work and it required effort. Well, every one of you have an awesome future, incredible potential. And it begins by recognizing your gifts and then exploiting whatever that gift is. It's so important, and I've talked about that in previous sermons to our youth. But recognizing your gifts is vital towards walking a path to success. And that's actually the title for my message today, A Pathway to Success. In my sermon today, I would like to offer you a few physical attributes that I believe are vital when it comes to being successful in life. And at the same time, as we look at these physical attributes, we'll also see some spiritual principles that go alongside them. So my first point for our young people and for everyone in reality is choose the right goal. Choose the right goal. I'd like to ask you a question. How do you live your life? Especially to the young people. How do you live your life? Do you live your life just focused on today? Many do. Many kids, many adults live their life without any thought or focus to the future. They just live for today. Whatever happens today, they deal with that. They don't work and form and fashion their day for what they want in the future or what they hope to be in the future. They just live for the day. Well, let me ask you something. What if your life was like a large ship? So think about that. Picture yourself, you're a large ship, and you're sitting in a port somewhere on the coast of an ocean. And you're ready to set sail. But you don't have any destination in mind. You just know that you have to set sail and get away from that shore. So you take off as a large ship. Do you know where you're heading? Do you have a goal in mind of where the next port's going to be? Or do you just leave the shore? Well, if you don't have a goal in mind, if you don't know where you're going, all you're going to do is go out into the ocean without focus and just wander around the ocean. Most likely, you'll end up shipwrecked. Just floating through the sea without direction, without a goal in mind. And wherever you end up on your trip as a boat is simply by chance. You see, people can and do live their life that way. A lot of people live their life that way, where they don't think about the future. They don't plan. They don't set a goal. They just take one step into every day of their life without a focus without a destination in mind, without a goal. And too many people live their life wandering aimlessly and eventually end up shipwrecked. That's no way to live your life. The pathway to a successful life begins by, as I mentioned, recognizing your strengths or your gifts that God has given you. And every one of you have gifts that God has given you. And then once you recognize your strengths as a person and your gifts, then you set goals based on those strengths. If you have an engineering mind, and you know you do, you love math, and your mind just naturally gravitates towards that way of thinking, would it be a good fit for you to go off and to study how to be the best nurse you could be? Wouldn't make sense. So it's a matter of recognizing your strengths, your interests, what you love to do, and then building your life in a direction around those ideas and around those strengths. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And I'll read from the New Living Translation, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, "Seek his will, that he is God. Seek God's will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take." Some translations say that God will make your path straight. Think about the shipwrecked story and a ship that is going out without a goal, and he just wanders aimlessly through the ocean. Well, this verse in verse 6 tells you the dramatic opposite of that. When you put God first and you consider his will for you in every step that you take in life. If you put God first in your life and you think about what would God want me to do in today and in this situation and for the rest of my life, if you put him first in your decision making, says he will make your path straight. He will make things work out for you, whatever is best for you. In our spiritual life, God has set a goal before each of us. What do you think that goal is? What do you think the goal is that God has set before each and every one of us? Think about that. Ask yourself that question. Do you think that the goal that God has set before you is to be a part of his kingdom? Think about that question. Do you think that God, the goal that God has set before each and every one of us, and you young people, do you think it's just about making it into God's kingdom? Well, that's not the goal that God has set before you. That is the reward that God has waiting for you. A reward that is waiting for the faithful. What the goal that God has set before you is a goal of righteousness. A goal of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us are called to learn to how to live our life righteously. To become more like our Savior. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 14. I'm not going to turn to the scripture, but even Paul, as he was nearing his life, he knew that he was close to the kingdom of God. But what was on his mind as his life was coming to an end? He said that he was thinking about the crown of righteousness that he was going to receive in his father's kingdom, in our father's kingdom. That's the goal that God set before us. If we are focused on that goal of achieving righteousness in our life, of becoming more like Jesus Christ, entering God's kingdom is going to take care of itself. It's going to be an automatic. In fact, Scripture tells us that the doors will be opened wide to you if you dedicate your life in obedience to God. That's what righteousness is. Let's go and read now 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. In other words, not doing what you used to do before you knew better. That's what it's talking about here. Verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Our conduct is to be different than what it was prior to our conversion. Prior to taking on Jesus Christ in our life. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's a call to righteousness. That's what God is saying there. Be righteous because I am righteous. Our righteousness will never open the doors to God's kingdom. Because we don't earn that opportunity to enter God's kingdom because of our actions. It is a gift to us from God. But our actions and the decisions we make and recognizing the call to righteousness is very much real and important for each of our lives. Our lives are to be models of conduct, loving each other, caring for each other, overcoming sin, having God's word alive in your life every day. That's a walk of a life in righteousness. Pursuing the goal of righteousness that God has set before you ensures your success in life. The second attribute that I would like to look on a pathway to success is pursue education. Pursue education. Once you've chosen your goal in life, or you're going to have many goals in life, but I'm talking about really your goal in terms of your career and what you're going to spend most of your life doing. Once you've chosen that right goal, you must seek to be completely educated in that goal. Most employers prior to hiring you will want to see your college transcripts. The best companies want to hire the best workers because that's what keeps their company at a high level. Great companies don't go out and tell their HR department, we need somebody, just hire any warm body off the street. No. Good companies, great companies, want to hire the best individuals that have refined their abilities, that have pursued their education, and that can benefit their company. They'll be looking for people that truly applied themselves in every way during their college years, especially scholastically. And college isn't for everyone, and that's perfectly fine. So whether you attend college or not, you should still focus your life on becoming as educated as you can be in whatever your chosen profession is. I want to share with you a quote from Mark Twain. He said, I never let my schooling interfere with my education. I never let my schooling interfere with my education. You see, Mark Twain recognized that his entire life was an opportunity to be educated. And a lot of times, the best classroom is out of the classroom. You can really learn a lot outside of the classroom. You don't have to go to college. You absolutely don't. But you have to be educated. You have to train yourself and learn and get some kind of an education from somewhere. Might be on-the-job training, whatever it is. So I'm not up here telling you you need to go to college. It does make it easier because companies in our world today highly value college-educated people. But that doesn't mean you can't make it. You can be incredibly successful, but you have to have a focus and realize the importance of education. Never, your education doesn't stop after you graduate high school. It shouldn't stop after you graduate college. Have a mindset of always wanting to learn, always expanding your knowledge on whatever the topic is, especially if it's surrounded the profession that you're choosing. And know this, that there's an education that surpasses everything else that's a part of this world. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. There's the education that you can receive in Scripture. God's education. And it doesn't cost you a thing. Absolutely free. It does take time. It does take effort. It does take a heart that wants to be educated by God. Proverbs 8 verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver. Don't worry about pursuing money, because pursuing the education from God that He has to offer you is far more valuable. And if you really pursue an education in how to live your life from God's Word, the money will take care of itself. Going on, it says, and knowledge rather than choice gold. If you decide in your life you're going to leave God behind you for now and just pursue making money and being physically successful, you're going to have an unhappy life. Because contentment and peace of mind comes when you have put God in your mind and in your heart and in your life and every decision that you make in your life, and you pursue success physically. God's not against you succeeding physically. He wants you to succeed physically, but He also wants you to put first things first, and He has told us very plainly in His Word that He must be first above all other pursuits. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're all very familiar with this scripture. We'll read verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking of God's Word, notice what it says here. We're all familiar with this verse. It says, all Scripture, the entire Holy Bible, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in your goal. What's it say there in the end of verse 16? For instruction in righteousness. It teaches you how to achieve righteousness, what righteousness is all about. Verse 17, that the man of God, or man or woman of God, may be complete. If you leave God behind you, you are not complete. That's why I said a minute ago that if you choose to leave God behind you, you will not have peace in your mind and in your heart. And I don't care how much money you make. There'll still be that hole in your life where you're not complete. Going on, it says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, what's a good work? Any good work is just simply righteousness, acts that are done according to God's law. Those are good works. It's what God has called us to do. God gives us His education through His Word. And his message is a message of hope, of promise, of encouragement. It's a message of love, of exhortation at times, and yes, even correction. That's a tough thing. It's tough to be corrected. It's tough to look at Scripture and look at your own life and say, I messed up. We must all take God's word to heart, meaning that it's just not in our mind, in our thoughts, but it's in our heart. It's something you take ownership of. That's what in your heart means. It means you've taken ownership of something. I would encourage you to apply his entire word to your life and examine your life daily from God's word. It does us no good to only focus on God's word that contains the pleasant things that it tells us. We all need to heed instruction at times and be ready and willing to receive correction. Only then is there a hope for growth. If you can't receive correction and humbly take it and examine your life and say, I need to do better, I need to change this in my life, where's the growth going to happen? If we can't, as God's people, sit there and say, I need correction, loving correction. None of us want to be beat over the head and said, you're rotten, you're no good, you're horrible. That's not healthy. It's not what God wants to do. But he encourages us to have a humble heart and to live it day after day and be willing to stop sometimes and look at our life and say, I need to make a change. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. Proverbs 15, verse 31. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life, not all will. Not all ears will hear the rebukes of life. Often too many ears turn a deafness towards a rebuke, towards words of correction. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Why? Because that's growth opportunity. Verse 32, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. If you say, no, I don't want anybody to tell me that I've done anything wrong ever. Well, you're despising your own life because you're refusing an opportunity to grow. But he who heeds rebuke, yields to it, takes it in, thinks about it, gets understanding. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom. And notice how it finishes up, Proverbs 15, verse 33. And before honor is humility. Before honor. Before we are even honored in God's kingdom, we have to become a humble people. Because once that door is opened in God's kingdom for eternity, there's going to be great honor poured upon those that have been faithful to God. But before that day, we are called to be humble, to be correctable, to be willing to take correction and to change, which is growth in righteousness. So young people and not so young people, always pray for a humble, teachable, and correctable heart. It's invaluable in your life. The third physical attribute towards success that I'd like to discuss today is be filled with drive and ambition. Be filled with drive and ambition. And my thoughts automatically go back to Mr. Fred Richards. Did you catch all the injuries that he suffered? In his shoulder, I don't remember exactly in detail. Shoulder, broke his back. I think it was like, didn't he say 2 weeks later after he hurt his shoulder, he broke his back, and then he had a fracture in a disc. He never quit, did he? He never gave up. Could have. Could have been in so much pain and thought, you know, what's the chance of me ever getting an Olympic medal anyway? Probably no chance. I'm just going to go back and have fun and live my life and do whatever I want. Mr. Richards had drive and ambition, and that's what led him to his Olympic medal. It doesn't matter what we start to accomplish. It doesn't matter what we start to accomplish. There will most likely be a time when we become lethargic. A time when we become lazy towards accomplishing our goal. After the first semester of college, actually when you begin college, you're all excited. Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. It's a new opportunity in life. But then after the first semester of college, you start to realize how difficult this is going to be. You start realizing how much study and not all the partying that's going to really be necessary to be successful in college. So after that first semester, college can become very, very difficult. But that's when we need to dig deeper within ourselves and sharpen our focus towards our goal. Because we can set that goal of getting a college degree, and then we start thinking about the reality of how tough it is to achieve it, and then you're just talking yourself out of it. Don't walk that path. Always sharpen your focus of the goal that you have in front of you. It's the same with righteousness. We can sit there and say, yes, I want to be righteous as Jesus Christ is. And then we sin and we make mistakes. We see how frail we are in terms of when it comes to obeying God. And sometimes you might want to just throw your hands up and say, I have no hope. But never lose sight of your goal of righteousness, because God is going to make it come to be. But you have to pursue it. It's our job to pursue righteousness every day of our life and never let that goal grow dim, and the importance of that goal. God has not called us to sit on our hands spiritually either. He wants his people to live their lives with enthusiasm and zeal. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I'll read the scripture from the New Living Translation, Romans 12, verse 11. The New Living Translation says it this way: never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's with zeal. That's with excitement. As we saw earlier, God has called us to righteousness. That's not an easy task, because we yield so easily to sin on a regular basis. Ask yourself, how hard is it to live God's way of life? We're in a spiritual war, and the daily battles are tough. Sometimes it takes all that we can do in our physical life to walk in the ways of God, because we strive against so many wrongful poles of the flesh. Being a Christian and walking God's way of life is not for the faint of heart. So what about this call to righteousness? Do we sit back and say, oh yeah, one day in God's kingdom, I'll be righteous? That's not the focus that we're to have. What does the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ expect from us? Well, the answer is clear in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. See if this sounds like a lazy command towards righteousness. Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for it. Recognize its value. Recognize how important it is for you in your life. Recognize that righteousness is the call from God to you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus Christ isn't talking about you being satisfied in your righteousness in this life. When you enter God's kingdom as a spirit being for eternity, you will be righteous for eternity at that point. You will have received the crown of righteousness. No more wrongful thoughts, no more wrongful deeds, no more reason to repent. We will be satisfied. I'm looking forward to that satisfaction. Because I'm not satisfied in my own pursuit of righteousness. Because I know I have failings, I have sins that I have to repent of. Just as we heard in our messages earlier today. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Luke 13, verse 24. Do you think a lazy person is going to enter God's kingdom? And he's going to look back and he's going to say, well, yeah, you were really spiritually lazy, but, you know, you're a good person otherwise, so I'm going to let you into my kingdom. Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. Strive. That describes the drive and the ambition that we need. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. God has no place for a spiritually lethargic person. If you think he does, read Revelation chapter 3 and the Laodicean church, because they were spiritually lazy. And God says that I will spit them out of my mouth. God wants people that are driven by ambition to pursue righteousness in their life. The next point on a pathway to success is when all else fails, and at times it will seem like it has, when all else fails, be resourceful. Be resourceful. We can set our goals and fulfill all of the other previous steps that I've talked about in my message today, but in the end, life isn't perfect. We will always have obstacles in front of us. Trials and unfortunate events that we don't expect in life. I'm sure Mr. Richards never thought that he would break his back and hurt his shoulder and fracture his spine. But when all else fails, we need to use all of our resources in life to accomplish our goals. It requires thought, deep thought, and sometimes even redoing our plans and our approach to things. Obstacles and difficulties help us realize our personal resourcefulness. You go ask anybody that has run a business, because they have to deal with this time in and time out, to where business is going smoothly and all of a sudden something comes up and it's a roadblock in front of them. You can't own a business and run a business without being resourceful at the same time. When obstacles and difficulties pop up, we need to ask ourselves, what can I do differently? What can I do differently? Because obviously, whatever you're doing is not working. It's come to a standstill. What can I do differently? Spiritually speaking, we may be battling a problem. Maybe we've struggled in overcoming a sin for a long time without success. maybe it's time to do something different. To use a different part of the armor of God that he has given us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. You see, this set of scriptures here paints a picture of different ways that we can be resourceful, spiritually speaking. Paul says in verse 11 of Ephesians 6, put on all of God's armor. Flip back to the New King James Version real quick. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's our battle. And it's a tough battle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That means don't leave anything off of your spiritual battle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, that's drive and ambition, when you do all that you can to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Foundational teachings here. Gird your waist with truth, with knowledge and the education that you've poured into your mind of God's word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the goal. That's your pursuit. And having shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What's that talking about? It's living your life in a peaceful way. Not combative. Not fighting everyone that you come across. You walk in the gospel of peace. And God's word is all of that. His gospel message is about peace. The peace that he offers you in your relationship with him and the peace that you must strive for in your relation with those around you. Verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith. And when you walk in your journey in life, you must have faith in God. It's a requirement for those that are coming to baptism. Have faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because he's going to attack your faith. He's going to make you doubt. He's going to make you think that you're in this battle all by yourself. And you're not. God is always with you. Jesus Christ is always with you. And they are more powerful than anything that Satan could put at us. Maintain that shield of faith and your belief in God. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the hope. That's the thing that you keep in your mind and you protect it. You never lose sight of the hope and the promise of God's coming kingdom. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. And then as it's stated in verse 18, praying always with all supplications, with all pleadings and yearnings. That's what supplication means. It means pouring your heart out in prayer. Time and time again, pleading to God. It's a humble request to your Father in heaven. Overcoming and reaching our set goals requires that we become resourceful people. Resourceful people. Lastly, the last physical attribute that I'll share with you today is strive to persevere. Strive to persevere. What's that mean? Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. It's so easy when things get tough to sit there and say, throw your hands up, I quit. I'm not going to do it anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. Things might get tough on the job. And you think, I've had enough of this. I'm just quitting my job. Well, don't be a quitter. It's never a good part of a person's nature to be a quitter. Be a fighter, even if the fighting has to do with fighting yourself when it comes to doing what's right. It's a matter of the old saying, the old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. When life and achieving our goals are at its lowest point, then we need to call on our perseverance. We've all been there, discouraged, filled with feelings of hopelessness, and that's when we need to dig deep within ourselves and continue on. Put one step in front of the other and continue on. Perseverance means you continue on your goals that you've set before you, no matter what obstacles you face in life or how tough life becomes. And I had the pleasure of sharing time with Rita over the past weeks and months. She never quit, never doubted her faith in God. She was strong in her faith until she took her last breath. She never had any less of love for God and life. If you've ever sat down and talked to Rita, hasn't been easy. Cancer was her last battle, but she's had numerous health issues. Numerous parts of her life, she shared with me, were at reached points of disappointment. I don't think she would mind me sharing this with you since she has passed, but she said one of her big disappointments in life that was really hard was accepting that she would never be able to have children. Tough. She knew that that was her answer from God. Did she quit? Did she abandon God because he didn't bless her with children and she wanted it so badly? Not at all. I have more to say about Rita's strength and her faith that I'm pleasured and honored to do for her at her funeral in the coming days. But she persevered. She knew what it meant to never say, I quit. To never give up, no matter how difficult life became. James chapter 1, verse 12. And I'll read from the NIV. James 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's the reward. If you love God, meaning you yield your life to him, it's a promise from God that he will place upon you the crown of life, eternal life. Think about the power that comes to you at that moment. Incredible power. No more sickness, no more death, no more weakness, no more, I already mentioned, no more repentance because sin will be gone. Power to do anything, to go anywhere, to experience anything. It's beyond our words and imagination to realize what God has in store for those that persevere, those that don't quit, those that have faith, everlasting faith in him and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. I'll also read this from the NIV, the New International Version. Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. See, that's the gospel of peace. You've been justified because of your faith in God and Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God, the hope in seeing God's glory. Verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. The harder things became for Rita, the more stronger she became in her faith and her reliance upon God. The second half of verse 3 again, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Verse 4, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, when you have perseverance as a part of your character, of who you are as a person, saying that I will not quit, I will march forward and do whatever I have to do in whatever situation it is, whether it's physically in our life or spiritually in our life, it's powerful. Perseverance changes a person. It makes you stronger. It builds your character. And once you have the character, speaking of the character of Jesus Christ, it gives us hope of salvation, of God's kingdom. It makes it more real than it ever was before. Having physical goals in life are very important when pursuing a successful life. God wants you to be very successful in your life. And he's waiting for you to seek him first in all of your life's decisions. Seek him first in all of your life's decisions. Let's notice what David said that God is looking for in each of us. Psalm chapter 14. Two scriptures and then we'll close up the sermon for today. Psalm chapter 14. Verse 1 and 2. Psalm 14, verse 1. It says, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. In other words, there is no good in them. They've done horrible works, and there's no good in the person that rejects God. Verse 2. Notice what the Lord is looking for. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. He's looking down upon the children of men. That's you, our youth. To see if there are any who understand and who seek God. Who seek God. What a powerful message from Scripture. God is looking down upon all of us because we're all children of men to see who is seeking after him. In closing, let's go back to Jeremiah 29 where we started. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And we'll read through verse 13. Keep in mind what we just read from Psalm 14 about how God is looking for those who are willing to seek him. God tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God hears your prayers. When you bend your knee and you go to him in prayer, he loves it. He tunes in. He wants you to talk to him. Verse 13, and you will seek me and find me. when you search with me with all of your heart. And as I said earlier, that's describing you taking ownership with your relationship with God. Take ownership of it. Put it in your heart. Seek God, and He will make your paths straight. He will guide you in all of your life. That doesn't mean that you're never going to have difficulties, because difficulties build character. God wants you to have a future and a hope. His word makes this very clear. So I ask you, do you desire real success for the rest of eternity? Success that will last forever? That's God's offer to you, to all those that value His calling to righteousness. I hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed.